First off, for those who don't know what Wordless is, would you describe it and talk about how the project came about for both of you?
Well,
why don't you go ahead?
Okay. For those who don't know what Wordless is, it probably includes Philip and I in a certain sense. It's something that just grew, as they say. And what it ultimately is, I suppose, is a hybrid of college lecture, stand-up comedy for intellectuals, concert, a film showing, and a slideshow, all to try to explain something almost inexplicable, which is how words and pictures work together in your brain and in art, and why. How's that?
I like that. Philip, did you want to jump in?
Well, that makes sense, but I think in addition, there's also an element of certainly autobiography for art, and then there's also an element of autobiography of the history of the graphic novel. So it's sort of happening on three levels at the same time, though I thought that was a very succinct description of it.
We kind of built it, to answer the other part of your question, Noel, as a result of a call I got from the Sydney Opera House asking if I'd come all the way around the planet to Sydney to be interviewed on stage about Mouse. Being interviewed about my Pulitzer Prize-winning graphic novel Mouse has really gotten old for me, and I can do it without getting out of bed. So I asked if, since you have an opera house there, could we instead just use it? Because as soon as I heard the word Sydney, I thought of Philip, a friend I made in New York who I've sort of collaborated with in the past. Philip and I met over a sound track, in a sense, that he composed for a silent film, and I loved what he had done. He's very good at making silent movie music scores that can be played live by a jazz band. And we met over something called The Unknown, a movie directed by Todd Browning. And it makes sense that we've made something that's unknown enough for me not to be able to give a short form explanation.
I'm fascinated by this project, and I can't wait to see it. As somebody who produces multimedia for the web on a daily basis, slideshows with music, slideshows with narration, and then just thinking about sort of where we're at with the way we get information from the web and all the videos, PowerPoint presentations, TED Talks. But I feel like what you guys have done is, in a sense, take a web form and bring it back into the analog world.
That's interesting. Well, it's definitely meant to be live, you know. That's part of the pressure and terror of it. Like, I'm not used to, as Philip is, to really performing. And to have a live work with a real orchestra is very different than hearing some kind of MP3 track on a web.
Yes, I think one of the challenges of figuring out how to do it was it's a combination of modern multimedia approach and old-fashioned multimedia approach. So that it's true that the live performance gives it a wonderful kinetic element, which is one of the things I love about doing silent film, doing live scores for silent film, which I've been doing for about 25 years. But this project was quite different in the fact that we had to be so tightly synced to the film. It's kind of like performing the score from a Bugs Bunny cartoon live. The other thing about it that's different is that they're not films, they're books. So it's sort of like performing live to a book.
That's exactly what I was going to interject on the subject of these things, you know, which is I've lectured over many years about as many as Philip has been doing soundtracks. I've been lecturing on the history and aesthetics of comics, my own work, and presenting that in ways where it's possible to sample something, show you a Dick Tracy page and explain why it's not just a Law and Order comic strip, it's a great work of American Expressionism. But I can show one page, there's a degree of familiarity, and I can talk from it and show some close-ups, but in order to introduce it, explain it, talk about why it was and what it still is, is more than just showing one woodcut. And that meant finding a way to share a book with somebody while they're there. So the only two ways to do it perhaps would have been to pass out 500 copies of the book, wait till people finish it and then talk about it with them. Or what we've done, which is create somehow accelerated readings of these things that might have been inspired by silent film but are not at all silent film, but are indeed books that people take in very privately. And we didn't want to present these books as kind of animatics, as if they were cheapjack animated cartoon schematics, and not make it as boring as, okay, I'm going to keep turning the pages till you've seen it all. And that's somehow the way this thing became a performance piece of its own.
Do you feel like there's a renewed interest in wordless comics? I'm thinking of, obviously, the invention of Hugo Cabret, the huge popularity of that among my, I have a 13-year-old son. Is that, do you feel like that's coming back around?
Well, that's coming back around, and more largely, just that phrase graphic novel implies a kind of comics that's not about people in spandex bashing each other's heads in, or a little gag about how horrible your life is in the office that you can put on your refrigerator. And the word graphic novel, for all of its problems that I have with it as a neologism, it still kind of at least indicates something ambitious done with words and pictures, or with pictures that imply words when there aren't any there. And in a sense, these books that I'm showing and my own work that I've made in response to those works that's made special for Wordless are all a way of reenfolding these old real graphic novels into what's now called graphic novels.
I wonder, as this evolves, do you feel like you are inventing or sort of starting to introduce an entirely new form of reading, interacting with text and words in the same way that you did early on with Mouse, obviously? Does it feel like something new emerging to you?
Well, for me, it certainly feels new. It's one of the reasons that I've got my adrenaline pumped for it. But often I just enter into something not knowing exactly where I'm going, just hoping that my subconscious is not leading me totally off a cliff, you know? And that was just as true for Mouse as it was for Raw Magazine, an avant-garde graphics magazine I did with my wife, Francoise Mouly, and just as true, ultimately, for the commercial art, in quotes, projects that I did. But for me, it's usually just like nosing into where something seems to open up and seeing what it actually is. And it's served me well, although it's kind of horrifying to have to die and get reborn between projects.
Thank you both so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Oh, well, thanks a lot, Noel. That was great.
Thank you, Noel.